morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Drop in the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Nice Monday, Tim. It's already February. It's almost over. Where does the time go? What hat you got on this morning? It's a new one.
Yeah, this is from Waggle Golf. Just came in over the weekend. It's a little boxy, but it like, you know, you break it in a little bit, so it's a little bit more round. I like it, though.
You're a golfer? I didn't know that.
No, I just like their hats. I got one years ago, and I really liked it, so time for another.
You just play one on TV. Okay. Yeah. It's like a Kaner. You see Kaner's hats? He always wears them. They look extra big on him. He got a smaller head, but he has like an extra large hat. He likes the bigger hats for whatever reason. You and him are very similar, Tim.
I always thought so, yeah.
Very similar. Before we get into it, I just want to say this episode is brought to you by our friends at Give Better, Tim. It's going swimmingly. You only have 3 more days left in February to go to givebetter.app/DTG to cash in your $100 chance of free money. We're getting inundated with messages daily. People saying, oh, I can't believe it was real. I can't believe you guys are actually giving away $100. Like, this is, I didn't know. It's nice to see, but there are some of you who still aren't doing it. You're not believing the hype. So go give it a chance. You got 3 days to win $100. You can buy Tim and I something. Go buy some merch from our merch store. It's Someone super easy. What?
Already. He's like, hey, I used the money to buy a hoodie. So I'm like, great.
Double and the down, hoodies baby. Are not $100. The hoodies are way cheaper. You could probably buy 3 hoodies for that much. So yeah, go to givebetter.app/DTG. It's super simple. It's a fun little app. You swipe left and right or up and down. They make it really user-friendly. And then at the end of the day, you win $100 if you get 5 right. Only for the next 3 days. After that, you're just into traditional sports gambling. But it's super fun. It's a fantasy-based thing. And then we're going to get into the you've lost, but then you give some to charity. So it's a win-win all around. But for this first little foray, they're making it super incentivizing for you guys to go out and win some free money. So check it out. Go to givebetter.app/DTG. You have 3 days left. That's it. I think you have to give them your cell phone number. And that's it. There's no other strings attached. So no credit card you have to put down or anything. It's just a fun game to win some free money. It helps us out too. So go give them a chance. Give them a call. Give them a download. And you'll be pleasantly surprised. All right, moving on. I was in Chicago last night, Tim. My first time back in a while. I've been doing the Hawks cast this and that, but I was on the main show. And it was a big game. Lots of layers to this. Alex DeBrincat back in Chicago. Patrick Kane back in Chicago for the first time since being traded to the Rangers last year. Huge deal. Everything trumping that was Chris Chelios was getting his jersey retired for the Chicago Blackhawks. He played there 9 seasons only. Holds all kinds of records. Most Pims all time in Chicago. Top 10 of points and this and that, blah, blah, blah. The guy's loved. I didn't know he was born in Chicago. Born, raised, won multiple championships there with minor league hockey and high school hockey and this and that. So they love him in Chicago. He lives there currently with his family. Guy's got like 5 houses all over the world, but he has 1 in Chicago. So that was a big deal, the big jersey retirement. What made it so different from other jersey retirements, Tim? Chris Chelios is a celebrity. He's not just in the hockey sphere. You know, you think of celebrities, you go, okay, it's going to be a hockey thing. There's going to be a lot of hockey players there. It's going to be really fun, mostly from the Hawks. No, this extended out to the celebrity stratosphere. They had a dinner the night before that I didn't get the invite for because I don't know Chris Chelios from, you know, you. I know him a little bit, but not much. I work with his daughter, Kaylee. So we have been sort of building this friendship. I guess the dinner was bonkers. There was celebrities everywhere. And then it followed into the next night when he had his jersey retired. They had a 3 o'clock ceremony. The Hawks did it first class. I sent you a picture, I think, Tim, of what was going on. But it was legit. He get up there. He spoke for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And then it was after the game. Or during the game was fun, too, because they started showing who was there. And I was trying to write everybody down who was there, but it was a lot because every commercial break they would show someone on the Jumbotron. It's like, holy cow, he's here. Where is he at? So let me catch my breath. It was Wayne Gretzky. It was Mark Messier, Dennis Rodman, Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, Duncan Keith. There was Seabrook, Hossa Sharp, John McEnroe, tennis player, Gary Suter, all former Hawks, Belfour, Savard, Jeremy Roenick, Tony Amonte, Ty Domi, Sidney Crawford. Supermodel, the doctor from the Scrub show, the older guy, he would always go, no, 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 no. That guy, I really like that guy. Super funny. Iserman, Theo Epstein from the Cubs GM, Brian McCabe, Keith Carney, and then a bunch of other people. I was just, there was too many to write down. Like Ray Ferraro was there and all these other. So that was cool during the game. They do the big ceremony. Sidney Crawford does the shoot a puck at center ice. She nails it. It was just, that was a cool moment because she is one of those people who everybody knows her. You know what I mean? She's just almost like a Mike Tyson or a Michael Jordan type, where she just is known throughout the world. She was in the era of just supermodels, maybe a little bit older than you. Did you know her, Tim?
I knew the name, but no, she was before my time when she was doing her thing and when she was that celebrity figure.
I had a poster of her on my wall. No kidding. I don't know where I got it or how I got it, but I had her poster on my wall. And so when I found out she was there, I was like, I have to meet her. Like, I have to. And then she's shooting and she buries it. Nobody else come close to getting it in the hole. And I was like, this is so cool. So you fast forward, we'll get back to the game because it was a very exciting game. There's a lot of layers there too with Kaner and everybody. Oh, I will say this about Chelios' speech. So it was kind of neat. He almost passed the torch to Kaner because Kane's sitting on the bench and he goes, Kaner, you know, I went from Chicago to Detroit. The jersey looks a little weird, but you'll get used to it. The next time you'll be here, your jersey will be being raised to the rafters. And everybody started thinking, yeah, probably will. Like, it's kind of neat that he was there. Kane was there watching him from the bench. And then there's Duncan Keith up in the press box who probably will have his jersey retired in the next 2 or 3 years. So there's a lot of people there, Tim. It was pretty fun.
But you know, they're telling their friends and family, hey, you know who was there last night? John Scott. John Scott was in the building.
They're definitely not. They're definitely not saying that. But I did. The after party was where it was all at. So I had to do the post game for the Hawks. So we're rushing through this, me and Pat Boyle. Then Pat's like, I got to do this Hawks podcast. I'm like, damn it. He's like, you want to do it with me? I'm like, I don't, but I will. And so we did that. That took another 10 minutes. So we're an hour behind everybody at this point. So we go down to the party and it's VIP. You have to have a password and you have to have a wristband, neither of which Pat and I have. So we're sitting at this door trying to get into this party and he took over the whole atrium of the United Center. It's just this huge enclosed entrance where the Michael Jordan statue is. It's massive. So they took over that whole area. We're trying to get in. There's fans talking to me, trying to get pictures. The security is trying to get all the fans out of the arena so they don't have to deal with them anymore. So finally, we get a hold of Kaylee Chelios. She gets us through the doors, and we walk in, and it's just like, ma. It was so bizarre to see all of these Hall of Famers just hanging out, like just shooting the breeze. It was so incredibly weird. And so I turn one way, there's Mark Messier. I turn one way, there's Ray Ferraro. I turn somewhere else, there's Jeremy Roenick. I turn around this way, there's Ty Domi. I turn, like, it was incredible. And then I didn't know if my teammates were there, my old guys. And I come around the corner and there's Duncan Keith. And he's always like very standoffish. I'm like, hey, Dunks, how's it going? And then I go and talk to Marian Hossa. So it was so surreal to be in that environment. And I was telling Tim a funny story before we came on. Steve Yzerman is there because obviously he played for Detroit and played against Chelios. I think he played with Chelios, won two cups with them. And so he's talking to Pat Foley, Hall of Fame announcer for the Chicago Blackhawks, who I'm friendly with, and Ray Ferraro's there, Cami Granato, who's Ray Ferraro's wife, and there's a couple other guys who are in a circle. And I'm doing my goodbye rounds because it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at that point. I still had to drive back to Traverse City. So I'm like trying to get out of there, but trying to do it in a polite way and also trying to like get my face in front of these guys. Like, hey, John, nice to come on my show. I'm a big a simp. And so I'm shaking everybody's hands and Yzerman turns around and doesn't want to shake my hand. I don't know if he did on purpose, but I think he did. Because he did the same thing to me in the press box when I was going to do the post game show. He was there with Uri Fisher. And I know Uri Fisher because remember we met him in Detroit, Tim, at the GLI in the basement. Yeah. So huge defenseman, still works for him. And I said, Uri, remember me? 5-6 years ago, we were in the, you know, the Joe Louis. I saw you in the basement. He's like, Johnny, how's it going? And we're chatting. Eisman's right beside him. We lock eyes and he turns around away from me. And I was about to go, good game tonight. You know, good signing with Kaner. And he turns around. He like walks towards the elevator. And that was my first inkling. I'm like, does he not like me because of what I say on the show? I'm like, no. Well, fast forward an hour and a half later, 100%. He knows what I say about him on the show, how the Yizer plan is a joke and he ruined the team and this and that, because it was so obvious. I'm shaking all these cans. I'm like, Pat, it was great seeing you get it. Did a great job. Congrats on everything. And oh, Ray, he introduced me to his wife. And who else was there? I think it was Domi. I was like, hey, man, you know, I'll see you around. And then I go to like say hi to Steve and goodbye and like congrats and this and that. He just turns around. I'm like, it was really funny.
Is there any reason other than, you know, you bashing the Eisner plan that he might be standoffish to you? Like, because he wouldn't have like just big leagued you, because that was the setting you were in, was to say hello and that was it, right?
No,
not like you were a fan.
I think he listens to the show.
Or at least he heard the clips. Yeah.
I'd like to think he listens to the show.
Hey, Steve.
That's where I hang my hat. I'm like, he's listening to it daily. And I've been very critical of him. So maybe he either saw a clip or this and that. But I think he's heard something. And he's like, this prick says I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not shaking his hand. Rightfully so. But it was my first taste of how this podcast bleeds into real life. Where I'm like, oh, he knows what I say about him. Like, I always assume nobody listens to this. You know what I mean? And I can say whatever I want. And now I'm coming to the realization that it does seep out into the real world. And people hear it and they don't like it. Yeah. There is consequences.
This is of my actions.
It was just funny. And then the same thing happened. All the Hawks players started to come in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been trashing these guys pretty heavy, you know, throughout the year and even on air. And like the first guy I run into is Jared Tenorti. I'm like, oh my God.
Who you got traded for, right?
Who I got traded for.
Yeah.
And he played bad. Like he was icing the puck left and right during the game. And I was just ripping him like, okay. And so I just tucked my tail. I'm like, hey man, like, you got, and I was polite and I just said, hi, I've never met him. Like, we got traded for each other. And he's like, yeah, that was crazy. Like, I wasn't even playing in the NHL and yeah, you ruined my life. So it was really funny. It was all cordial, but it was just funny. It was another moment. I'll get off of this in a second, but I got a text during the game from somebody. I'm like, hey, they're like, great job. You should stay with NBC for a long time. You're going to sign long-term. I didn't know who it was, and so I just ignored it. That happens. I got a new phone. I got an old new phone, so the storage wasn't enough to hold all my numbers, so I had to just really make some hard decisions. So I'm going to the elevator to go up to the press box, and there's Connor Murphy. He's like, oh, you don't respond to my texts? I'm like, I didn't know you texted me. He's like, check your phone. I'm like, oh, I didn't save your number. He's like, you're such a jerk. So here's this NHL player. I'm just like big dog. And then I run into him in the elevator. So that was kind of funny too.
We should get him on the show. Who last He's from injured last right night?
Now. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Even better. Were you most happy that was excited to see you? Who was like, man, Dunks is really, you know, I just said Dunks kind of standoffish, but who else would that be?
I want to say Hossa. We were always really close when we played together, and I saw him. We locked eyes, and he's like, Johnny, what are you doing here? So I went and I chatted with him for quite a long time.
Here? Who let you in?
Yeah, right. So I'm like, why are you here? Because they did everybody on the Jumbotron. I'm like, I wasn't a part of it. And
like in college when the people go around like, hey, who do you know here? And if you can't answer, they give you the boot. That's what he was doing to you.
Yeah. He's like, who do you know? How did you get in? Yeah. How did you get in? He was fun. And then all the old guys, like it was palling around with Ed Belfour and stuff like that. Jeremy Roenick, I talked to him for quite a bit. Once the Eddie Vedder concert started, I just wanted to watch the show. I missed out on seeing him in college. He was playing in Marquette, and I just didn't want to drive over there. And I regretted it and regretted it. And I finally got to see him play. It was the whole Pearl Jam band, and it was pretty incredible. So that was a lot of fun. I just locked in on him. So, but all in all, it was just like, it'll never happen. And it's like Dennis Rodman's bouncing around. He's like, no one knows where he is. He, like, you hear the stories and you watch like The Last Dance and like all this stuff. It's all real. Like, it's all real. Like, he was gone, absolutely gone. And then, like, it's just crazy all the stories that they told. Like, those guys used to go out all the time, all the time. And then what they would do is they would go to the rink, they would put a bicycle in the sauna and just bag themselves to sweat it out. And it's just crazy to hear these Hall of Famers just nonchalantly talking to 20,000 fans in the United Center going, oh man, we used to, like, one playoff game, we went out and we just got bombed. And, you know, we had to sweat it out the night before, but Chelly came out and played fantastic that night and we beat this team in the playoffs. I'm like, are you guys crazy? Like, it's just, it was a different world. Pre-cell phone, pre-anything. It was just, it was amazing. And they talked like that was the normal thing to do. And every story they told, everything that, every story, you know, we're just hanging out, having a couple cocktails. Every story started that way. Everyone. it was just pretty neat to hear. And then I'm like, you were married the whole time, Chelly. Like, you got married after college, like I did. And he's like, I'd follow Rodman all around town. I'll be going this 3-4 in the morning. I'm like, what does your wife think? Like, she's sitting right there. How is this? Like, were you guys cool? Was she with you? I just wanted to, like, pick his brain. Like, your kids are my age. So they're like, you had kids at this. It was just, I just didn't want to stir the pot. But I'm just like, it was pretty, it's a different world compared to today when Pearl Jam goes on stage. Everybody's just got their cell phones. It just, it's so sad. I took one picture and then I put my phone away and I was the only one who was just like enjoying the show. Not that I'm better than them, but I just hate that. I just really don't like just you're watching it through your phone and not experiencing it in real life. Like, you don't think they have a professional videographer here that you can go watch it at some point? That's what I always figure. I always figure someone else is going to take a picture, then I can look at that picture. But I'm going to just enjoy it. But
so, should we talk about the game itself for a second before we move on to the other topics? But great game. It looked like, I didn't watch the whole thing, but back and forth, goes to overtime, and who but Patrick Kane?
It was an incredible game because, well, DeBrincat gets lucky. He scores with 4 minutes left from behind the goal line to tie the game. The Hawks played fantastic. I think the Red Wings were a second game of a back-to-back. They were coming in, and it was an emotional night. All the ceremonies, they did that. They did a big Kaner montage on the Jumbotron. He was getting a little choked up. He said it after the game. He didn't really find his game until midway through the second, because the first he was out of it. He said it was just a weird game. But yeah, you fast forward to overtime. Detroit might have the best overtime team. To put together two solid lines of overtime players, like, what, maybe Edmonton because the speed factor, but what better threesome could there be than Kane, Larkin, and DeBrincat? That's pretty legit. I know there's other good ones, like Colorado can throw one together, and so can the Oilers, and the Rangers Toronto, have a pretty good unit. Yeah. Toronto could probably match them, but those guys got out there. I'm like, just the puck control, because that's all that is in overtime. Getting that puck and controlling it. Chicago had a tough break. Bedard gets it. He breaks his stick. The guy broke 3 sticks last night. Anyways, Kaner, he was the second shift to get on the ice. DeBrincat was – or Bedard was the first. He was out there for 2.5 minutes. So Chicago goes down. They have a grade A chance. They miss it. They're so tired they can't even get up the ice. Kaner has a breakaway from the red line. He has time to look behind him and to just relax. He's like, I got lots of time. And when you give him that much time, we've seen what he does in a shootout when he has kind of a time restraint where you have to keep the puck moving forward. He could have stopped and just relaxed for a little. It was a lot of room. And he goes in and roofs it upstairs. He pushes away the D-man who's trying to cheer for him. And he goes, heartbreaker or showtime. It's showtime. That's what he used. Showtime, showtime. Like, just giving it to the crowd. I don't know if he was trying to give it to them or just celebrate with them, because it seemed like it was a little bit of both. Because then after the game, he came out, he does his curtain call. He did 3 during the game, curtain calls, skated around the ice, and the fans were going nuts for him. Then after the game, he did 2, I want to say. The fans are great with him. He was just patting his heart. I love you guys. Oh, my heart's always in Chicago. It was pretty neat. It was a neat moment.
I didn't watch the game. Like I said, I should have. I don't know what I was doing. But you texted me like, hey, do you see that overtime? So I pulled it up on Twitter to look up, you know, Patrick Kane. And I thought it was a shootout because he had so much room. And the camera zoomed in. You don't see it. And I'm like, wow. And then then I look up. It's overtime, not shootout. Just amazing. And it's not like that move was just so incredibly unique or fancy. But something about it just seemed very unfamiliar. Like, I don't think I've seen that exact move. Oh, it's similar to the Pastrnak thing where he kind of almost
scoops it
the top of his, yeah, the stick over it and then buries it high. It's just beautiful goal and really cool night.
Yeah, he's never done that. It was a strange goal, but he just waited Mrazek out. There was a point Mrazek had to go down because a five hole was available. Then finally Mrazek relented and he's like, I have to go down. Like, you've been coming at me for the last like literally 12 to 15 seconds. And so you watch Seth Jones in the background. He skated for 5 strides, and then he just straight legged it from the red line all the way in. He was just waiting for Kaner to score because he was so gassed because he was out there for 2.5 minutes, and he should have scored twice. Very, very, very good chances. 3-on-3 was entertaining, but yeah, it was fitting. Kaner gets it in Chicago. Bedard score. He had a goal. Then they re-looked at it, and Foligno had a tip on it. But yeah, good game all around. Very fun.
But
Now here I am. there was some actually, speaking of that, there was some chatter about this next guy we're going to talk to. Connor Murphy, the guy I talked about earlier, defenseman for the Hawks. I get into the elevator with him, and he goes, did you see the Remke fight? I'm like,
Rempe.
What?
Rempe.
Rempe, whatever. Renan's Rempe. Do you see the Rempe fight? I'm like, yeah, Delorier a couple nights ago. He's like, no, check out the Olivier fight right now. Like, he got worked. And so right away I go and find, the fight. I was blown away, shocked that these types of fight are happening in the NHL today. A league that's more accustomed to protecting your face, playing defense, not trying to inflict pain. You're trying to just win the fight, but not by very much. These last few fights for this kid, Tim, are just a throwback to the 80s. They're throwing caution to the wind. There is no defense. It is all gas, no break. It is amazing to watch. And that's why I think he's getting so much publicity, because nobody knows what to think of this. This is uncharted territory for the NHL. I would say since 2000, there's been nothing like this. And people are shocked. They're mortified. What is he doing? It's crazy. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think this kid is good for the game. I just did a little interview with somebody from the Rangers. He's like, what do you think he's going to have to change? Do you think he should slow down? I said, no, he should keep doing this. This is great. He's making a name for himself in the NHL. So we'll break down a couple of his fights. The first big one was, I want to say Delorier, because he did fight Matt Martin in the outdoor game. Martin seatbelted him. I think he knew he was in over his head a little bit with the size of this kid. He's 6'7", 240, so he's a big human. Like, he's not small. So Martin kind of just played his cards right and just punted to the next game. But the first real fight that I liked was the Nicky Delorier, my former teammate. I asked Nicky to fight one time. I was in Arizona. We were in Buffalo. I said, Nicky, give me one. Got to give me one. He's like, nah, not doing it. Guy's got long arms. If you look at him and he's standing straight, his arms, I think, touch the outside of his kneecaps. That's how long they are. Like, he's a knuckle dragger. He's got a reach on him for days. But he fought this kid. What a fight. What a fight. And Nicky's a throwback, too, where he's all gas. And I don't think anybody knew this Rempe kid had that in him because of the Matt Martin fight. And he beat up Nick Delorier. He worked him pretty good. Now, like, he didn't knock him out. But it might be the best fight that we've seen in the NHL in a long time. It was nice to see that. It was the old days of Craig Cox and Stu Grimson and Marty McSorley and Bob Probert, where you're just really trying to knock someone out. I tried to do that. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I didn't really play much defense, but I didn't really play that much great offense. This was a fun fight to watch. And it was a fun fight because Rempe doesn't know how to play defense. He's a terrible fighter. Like, just like when you break it down, he's a bad fighter. Like, he has a lot to work on. He has a lot that he needs to improve upon, but he's just this raw big kid who just throws his hands around. and it's fun to watch. And he's trying to stay into the league, and he knows that's what he needs to do to stay into the league. So he's got the passion, he's got the motivation. He just needs to work on some things. What did you think, Tim? You were probably just scared of all the violence.
I was watching, covering my eyes. No, it was great. It was a lot of fun to watch. And I'm trying to think of like another time, because it's like, it's almost like the mania is crazy right now around this guy. Like every night he plays, he's making headlines either for the fights, for the goal, the hits that he's throwing. It reminds me of when Lucic came up, like and making headlines for something other than like hockey skill, just by the fights and the hits and all like that, the toughness stuff. It's just, there's no one in the league doing it right now. And I wonder how sustainable it is. But let's talk about the next fight, which was Sunday night. So he fights Delorier on Saturday night, which is arguably the toughest guy in the league, but certainly top 3-5. And then Olivier on Sunday, which is another guy who's on the top of that list. And this time, Rempe gets his lunch fed to him, right?
Yes. And Olivier, he said after the game, he did do a little research. So he knew what to expect. And fighters do this. I did this. So he knew what Rempe was going to do. And you could tell early on, Rempe, just a bad strategy. And this is what I mean. He needs to tweak his fighting style, because he has all the assets in the world. I can relate to him. We're tall guys. We have a long reach. You watch that fight and you watch where he grabs onto Olivier. He's grabbing onto Olivier's outside shoulder behind his shoulder pad. So he's almost bringing Olivier in closer to him for some reason. When you're 6'7", you want to grab him by the neck right here, and you want to drive your fist up into his neck so he can't breathe and it's uncomfortable for him. That's what I would try to do. I wasn't the big jersey jab punching in the head. I hated that. I would grab it and I'd push it on the guy's neck, and it would make it uncomfortable for him. So he'd have to swivel off. Sometimes it doesn't work because you're pulling away a lot of the times, but I would just try to do that. Rempe grabs him out here. That allowed Olivier, I don't know if you're watching on YouTube, it allowed Olivier to punch through. So he's got him on the back of his shoulder. It's hard to grab yourself. You know what I mean? I can't really do it justice. But go watch the fight. He grabs him from behind his shoulder, and Olivier's like, jackpot. So you're grabbing me behind my shoulder. I still have full range of motion, and you're pulling me towards you. Yes, please. Can I have another? And he just feeds him his lunch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Rempe, good on him. He's stuck in there a long time. Like his face is probably mashed potatoes this morning, but it was a good fight. And you, even after the game, Olivier, he's like, I'm not telling you my tricks, because they asked him what he did going into that fight. And he's like, you think I'm going to tell you that? I'm going to fight this guy again. I don't want to give away my secrets, but it was a great fight. It was a fun fight to watch. 10 out of 10 for entertainment value.
Oh, for sure. Now, Rempe's up to 3 fights in 5 games, like I said. And I think all 3 of them have come on his first shift of the game. At least 2 of them have. He's just jumping right into it. And I don't know. It's just a lot of fun to watch. He's played 5 games. I think he's 10, 11 minutes total. Like, he's not getting a lot of ice time, but he's up to over 30 pims. It's just crazy how much what he's doing. But that actually brings up the question. I saw this, you know, everyone's talking about the Delorier fight and the Olivier fight. And then I saw the tweet from Mark Spector, who was, you know, one of the head columnists at Sportsnet. He's one of the broadcast personalities. And he said, quote, this kid shouldn't be doing this every play, because he's watching the fight against Olivier, where he's getting his head pounded. So the kid shouldn't be doing this every day. Someone in the Rangers organization needs to take better care of this young man. He does not always have to say yes. It'll be a short career if he does. Do you feel like that's a fair analysis, or do you feel like it's a little bit maybe too soft?
It's easy for the reporter to say that, whose life is not on the line, you know, when he has to fight. You go back and look at the fight cards of all the tough guys. Every year, 25, 26, 28, 30, 40. That's not uncommon for those guys to fight every other game. The Marty McSorleys, the Brad Mays, those types of guys. And they're established in the league. This kid is just in the league. He's trying to put a stamp on this team and cement his spot in the lineup. He's not going to play a ton of minutes. So what can he do to make an impact? You have to fight. You have to. This misses the mark for me. Like, I don't know what else you want him to do, Mark Spector. You're there to fight. You're there to be a physical impact. And you're playing teams that have legit heavyweights. I could see if he's playing a team like the Penguins, a team like the Detroit Red Wings. Those teams that don't have a heavy, he's going to do what he has to do to stay in the lineup. So, and he is. He's doing a great job. He put one in his second game, a game winner. I just think he needs to just take a step back in a big picture here. I respect Mark Spector. He's doing a good job, but he's missing the mark here a little bit. I don't think the Rangers need to, hey, can you stop fighting? Because the team loves it and the fans love it. And you're staying in the lineup, but can you stop? So we're just worried. We're worried about you. And then we're going to pull you out of the lineup.
Isn't there a middle ground, though, where they can say, hey, listen, you've done everything we've asked of you and more. Like, let's just slow down a little bit, focus just a little bit more on hockey, work on the skills, like you said, that he needs to build, because he's getting punched in the head, you know, 2-3 days a week now. And those guys you mentioned that have been doing it 40 times a year in the 80s and 90s, like that whole generation, not all of them, obviously, but that's like the guys who have CTE issues, drug abuse, mental health issues, like all the stuff that comes with that. And so I think that's what Spector's referring to, is like, there's a way to establish yourself, which you've done, or at least have started to, without getting punched in the head every other night. And you don't have to always fight in order to be useful in the league, right?
What way would that be? How does he establish himself? If he plays 4 to 6 minutes a night, what does he do?
Well, now, okay, it's more about moving forward. You know, it's like he's done what he has to make a name for himself and to prove to the team and the organization that he'll do whatever it takes. Yeah. That doesn't mean that he needs to do that every single night. He just means that he can contribute that to the lineup when it's needed, or when, you know, it makes sense.
I agree. I don't think he's going to fight 3 out of 5 games his whole life. But
yeah,
I think this is his first NHL game. He has to do it, right? Like, he's been in the league for a week. Mandatory. I just think we're just putting the cart before the horse here. He is still he's not even a rookie yet. He could still get sent down. It doesn't even count as a full season on his contract. Like, he hasn't played 9 games. So, yeah, let's just pump the brakes here. Like, I think we're getting, just because the fights are so grandiose, people are just shocked by, he's going to kill himself. This is ridiculous. You can't do it. Relax. He knows what he's doing. And I know all that CTE and drug stuff and this and that. I understand that. Everyone who got into a fight signed up to do that job. It is what it is. I've talked to every tough guy there is around the block, especially after Derek died. We all talked to each other, everybody, and we all understood the risks. And everybody asked each other, would you still do it? This and that, because we all got asked the question up and down. Yeah, we would. It's a part of the job. I know it's morbid and I know it's crazy to think that. It's just the way it works. We love playing the game, and fighting was a part of it. I probably got CTE. Yep. I got a bad memory. I get angry quickly. It is what it is. I would not change it. I enjoyed playing hockey. I knew the risks, and I still play. So it's not Mark Spector's decision to say when this guy can and can't fight. It's Rampy's decision. He's a grown ass man. He can decide what he wants to decide. That's what I don't like. All these outside people. Well, I know better than you. Do you? Do you really? Or do you just don't like it? There's a big difference there. Everyone talks, freedom of speech, freedom of this, freedom of that. Why can't I be free to go get my face punched in if I want to and make $1 million? Why can't I do that, Tim? Not a free country? I think I should be able to do that. Well, it's going to affect you later on in life. So is smoking. Nobody can smoke. Right? Boom. I don't know. This stuff irks me a little bit because
No, that's all great. And I just wonder, just going back to a small part of his point, is someone in the Rangers organization taking better care of him? And by that, I mean, like, if they're not stopping him from fighting, at least saying, like, being more strategic about it or teaching him how to fight. Like, do you think anyone's teaching him? Is he watching video and saying, okay, this is what I should do better next time I fight someone of Olivier's ilk? Or is it just...
No, they don't have a fighting coach. No. What they should do is call me. Honestly. Fly me out. I'd work with him for a week. He'd be a much better fighter. And I'm dead serious. I would turn this kid into a killer because he has the instinct. He just goes out there and chucks him. Train him a little bit. Rein him in. A little Seabiscuit action. Slow down, big fella. We can work with you because he has that aggressive nature. He could be a really, really tough kid. But he will get his face caved in if he keeps fighting this way. You have to learn to just... Sometimes you got to play a little defense. And it's not playing defense, just a different grip. So he's making it exciting, Tim, though. That's it. See, he puts a stamp on it. People are talking about him, even though we lost. even though we lost, it's a good thing for the kid. And then Columbus wins the game too. What a fight by Olivier. Gosh, fired that team up right there. The Rangers were on a 10 game winning streak. Then he beats up Rempe. They win the game 4-2. Fighting doesn't matter. Yeah, right. Losers. All right, Tim. I got Wendy's last night, Tim, driving home.
Did you?
Yeah. I drove out of my way to get Wendy's. And I ordered and I said, you guys are sponsors of my show? She's like, get the hell out of here. I don't know who you are. Beat it. I'm like, I pulled up my podcast and I said, look, it's here, Wendy's. She's like,
no. It's me, John Scott.
Yeah. And then I ordered and I get like 20 feet in front of me and I go, you didn't give me all my sandwiches. Because I ordered 3 sandwiches and a fry. It was a long drive. I got a spicy chicken and then I got a Dave's double and then I got a double Baconator. It was a long drive. And I'm like, there's only 2 sandwiches in here. And I backed it up. I'm like, sweetie, shortchanged me here. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. So anyways, let's do a Wendy's ad read, Tim.
Yeah. So as you guys know, Wendy's is letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year and daily face-off. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's is rewarding you with weekly prizes that will have you winning despite your lack of team-building skills. Download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points on your first order and grab a sweet victory from the mouthwatering jaws of defeat along with some fresh, never frozen beef. Sign up to play Daily Faceoff to win weekly prizes like the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's and the Wendy's app.
I just bought that. It was spicy. I took 2 bites and I was choking a little bit and had to drink my Sprite. Cool me down a little bit. It was good though. The last 3 quarters was fantastic. Wendy's is the best. Right. I drove out of my way to go to it. Like I passed by Burger King, passed by McDonald's, Wendy's. Delicious. All right, Tim, let's get to some quick hits here. What are we talking about today?
Our quick hits, as always, are brought to you by DoorDash. Order 25% off and 0 delivery fees on your first order. Use promo code NATION25, valid in Canada. The Bruins blew a lead the other night against Vancouver.
I saw that. They were up 2-0?
Yeah, there's 2-0 going into the third. The Bruins have gone now 8 straight games without a regulation win for the first time since 2010. It's not good. It's not good. Everyone's talking about Grizzlick and Forbert and DeBrusque and Allmark and what they're going to do and should they even be buyers at the trade deadline. And I don't want to, you know, panic or anything like that. They're still well within reach of winning the division, but people are freaking out just a little bit.
I'm telling you. They're going to be in a wild card spot. When the playoffs begin, they will be a wild card team.
No, they won't.
You don't think so? Okay.
No. Okay. So I was going back through our messages the other day. I was going through some players that we've been talking to, and I totally forgot. Clayton Keller said over the summer he would come on our show. And he said, he's like, yeah, I just can't do it right now. We're about to start camp. Like, follow up with me. Later in the season, which I was going to do.
We slow played him.
The long con. But then he got hurt last night. He left the game with the Jets. Upper body injury. Could be a little bit of a serious injury. So we're waiting for the report on that. Meanwhile, the Coyotes lost their 12th straight. Brutal. Brutal.
Perfect
brutal.
Time so for an interview. Hey, see, you got some free time. You want to come on the show? Oh, no.
You
hurt
and you keep losing.
We missed them a month and a half ago. Would have been perfect. They were playing great in the playoff hunt. Now they're just trash again. Next year.
The Maple Leafs recalled Joseph Woll from his conditioning loan with the Marlies. He had some really good starts down there, and now he's coming back up. So they're going into the playoffs, hopefully with Woll and Samsonov. And you'll see which one of them wants the net badly enough to earn the starting job going into the playoffs.
That'll work out perfect for him.
Who do you like, Toronto versus Tampa, first round?
Tampa.
Toronto versus Boston.
Toronto.
Toronto versus Florida.
Florida. I said it before, they need to line up versus Boston. That's their team. That's their sweet spot.
And even that, like, I feel like they definitely lose to Florida and Tampa. Boston's probably a toss-up. And I feel like
Tampa is a toss-up. Boston's a sure win. Florida's a sure loss.
We'll see.
And Boston sucks. They are the worst team in the playoff spot right now. They'll lose first round, guaranteed. Heard it here first.
Well, let's talk after the trade deadline.
Okay, let's do it. Oh, they got a lot of pieces to trade. Oh, they're going to make some noise.
I just want to be clear about them being first in their division. Just want to make sure that you know that.
Oh, I know very well. That's why my predictions are so bold. Don't you see? They got 81 points. I know that.
Yeah.
They won a game in regulation in eight games. Did you know that? Eight games, they haven't won a game in regulation. Now, the trade deadline is Friday. This is very exciting. We're going to do a show this week.
A week from Friday. Yeah.
A week from Friday. Oh, it is? So we got a long time. We're not going to do a show about the trade deadline.
March 8th.
March 8th. We'll do one. All right, everybody. We appreciate the support. Thanks for listening to me babble on about my party lifestyle. It's exciting. It's a lifestyle. You know what I mean? No TV, partying with celebrities. That's what I do. And I'll talk to everybody on Wednesday. Who knows what I'm going to do tonight? Maybe go to California and party with some celebrities. I don't know. Maybe I'll go to bed at 8:30 because I'm super tired. That's probably more realistic. All right, everybody. I appreciate the support. We'll talk to you later. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.